Our scripture comes to us from Isaiah 30, verses 19 to 21. For the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. You shall weep no more. He will be very gracious to you at the sound of your cry. When he hears it, he will answer you. And though the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet your teachers will not be moved into a corner any more, but your eyes shall see your teachers. Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left.
Thank you, Sherman, and good morning. I'm grateful this morning for at least three things. First of all, it's Sabbath. If that isn't a wonderful thing, has been created for us. The second is that you're here, and it's good to see you here. And finally, it's great to be worshiping in the house of the Lord on his Sabbath day. Have you ever wondered what the remnant was going to look like? If you have, look around. You're it. Let's bow our heads. We do thank you, Father, for the blessing of your Sabbath day. We thank you for calling us your children. We ask that our hearts will be open as we now hear what has been prepared. We thank you for the message that you sent to us. And we ask this all in Christ's name. Amen. Well, most of you know, likely, that the population of this planet is now over 7.6 billion people. You can actually go online and you can see the ticker ticking along as more people are added. I don't know how they make an estimate of how that, but you can watch it. More than 7.6 billion, and as we just heard, less than half of those people have adequate drinking water. What a deal. Any way you look at it, it's a mass of humanity. Could be very easy to feel quite insignificant if you were to consider the sheer magnitude of this project, Heaven's Mission Project. Yet the Bible teaches us that God has very special and very specific thoughts about each one of his children. Our study this morning will take us to Jeremiah 29, verses 10 to 14. In this setting, I like to use the New Living Translation, and so that's what I'll be reading. The truth is that you will be in Babylon for 70 years. But then I will come and do for you all the good things that I have promised, and I will bring you home again. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. In those days when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me in earnest, you will find me when you seek me. I will be found by you, says the Lord. I will end your captivity and restore your fortunes. I will gather you out of the nations where I sent you and bring you home again to your own land. You see, much of the Israelite nation was being held captive at this time in Babylon. And in this passage, God elects to communicate through Jeremiah to his people. The central message here is that God still loves them and cares for them. Despite their sufferings and their painful surroundings, God had a plan for them. Though they had often rejected him, God's people were still on his mind. Do you find that to be of comfort these days? Amen. Scripture is very clear this morning. The ruler of the universe is still thinking about his people. This message to us is unmistakable. You are on my mind. And I am making plans for you. I know the thoughts that I think toward you to give you an expected end. Yes, as we allow it, God will work out his will, his plan in our lives. His plan can be our plan if we so choose. Well, there's a couple of questions we have to ask ourselves this morning. Here's the first one. Just how complete is God's knowledge about you? It's clear that God's knowledge of us is individual. He has his mind set on you and me. He does not see us as just another face from the enormous human race, not just one of 7.6 billion, but as you, an individual. He sees us and cares for us individually. God's knowledge about us is intimate. The Gospel of Matthew tells us, chapter 10, verse 29 to 31, that God keeps very close watch on the features of his creation. He knows the details right down to the most microscopic point, like down to the microscopic hairs on your head, for some of us. Not that he counts them, it just shows he knows every single detail. He knows our deepest thoughts, our motives, our dreams, and our plans. God's knowledge of us is infinite. David tells us in Psalm 139 that God is everywhere, beholding everything. Even before we were born, he was anticipating our actions. And finally, God's knowledge of us is instantaneous. Solomon tells us in Proverbs 15:3 that God's eye is persistently upon the affairs of our life. This is so encouraging because we realize that nothing catches the Lord off guard. He is not surprised by anything that we humans are engaged in or that we're even considering. Not only does he know about everything, he knows about it before it even happens. Second question is this: what is revealed by God's knowledge of you? Scriptures tell us that he sees and knows every single detail about us. He knows the motives behind every thought or action we make, whether it be honorable or immoral. God knows your entire state of affairs. He knew everything about the suffering of Israel at the hands of the treacherous Babylonians. He knew about their malice toward his treasured people. Nothing is hidden from his watchful eye. In a similar way today, God is still communicating with his people in Babylon. He knows about the confusion that his people are sorting through from what has become a particular spiritual authority. In Revelation 18:4, he pleads with his people, "Come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you will not receive of her plagues." In this warning, he is basically saying, I care deeply about you and have a plan for you if you will only listen. Today we know this text to be God's last warning to his wayward people. You see, God still knows everything that is happening in our lives. Nothing has ever come your way which has taken him by surprise. As a matter of fact, he allows particular challenges to come your direction just for his honor and glory. Did you know that? He allows particular challenges to come your way just for his honor and glory. He has even been known to send a well-placed hardship in your direction. Have you ever noticed a particular irritation that persistently comes your way? Oftentimes, those challenges, those burdens of life, those afflictions seem to be greater than what we can bear. Nevertheless, God has given us many precious and magnificent promises. We're going to review a few of those here. If God knows all about it and allows it, then I can trust him to bring me safely through it. As our text read a minute ago, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't depend on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He will show you the right way to go. What a wonderful promise this is. Let's take another look at our scripture reading text. Isaiah 30, 19 to 21, again from the New Living Translation. O people of Zion who live in Jerusalem, you will weep no more. He will be gracious if you ask for help. He will respond instantly to the sound of your cries. Though the Lord gave you adversity for food and affliction for drink, he will still be with you to teach you. You will see your teacher with your own eyes, and you will hear a voice that says, "This is the way. Turn around and walk here." How grateful we are when God makes his plans known in this manner. But there are times in the presence of God cannot be discerned. He cannot be seen or heard and may seem out of reach. Yet, he is right there nonetheless, providing, protecting, and caring for his children. Hebrews 13:5 is just one of the places in the Bible where he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So there he is, right in the middle of everything with you. God cares about what we are facing. Sometimes it may seem like he is ignoring us or not answering our requests in a timely way. Yet 1 Peter 5:7 informs us that we should be casting every care upon him, for he careth for you. Friends, God cares for each one of us more than we will ever know. Recall that he sent his son to die for you. Remember that God has promised grace to help us through this contest. And what a contest it's turning out to be. Would you agree? What a deal. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 12:9 that Jesus specifically said to him, My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. Friends, we can take Jesus at his word, and I hope you do just that. Sometimes it may seem that the load is heavier than you can bear, but the Lord has promised to meet the need and give you the grace that is sufficient for the challenge at hand. God has also promised to give you rest in the middle of a weary trial or task. You know Matthew 11:28 that says, Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Have you ever felt heavy laden? Have you ever said to yourself, You know, I'm heavy laden just now? You probably have some other words for it, but I'm sure that you felt that way. Well, then take God at his word. Next time you feel that weight closing in about you, take a time out. Take a time out. Sit yourself down and open the Bible and read some of those precious promises, as Peter calls them, that God has blessed us with. He has promised rest to his children if they will but come to him and lay those burdens down. So take him up on it. Now, I know everybody has their own way of doing this, but you tell me if you ever said anything that sounds kind of like this to God. Dear Lord, you know I can't deal with this. It's been on my plate too long. Now I'm going to put it on yours. Does he not take care of it? He does. He always does, doesn't he? Take him at his word. Third question we have, how does God react to his knowledge of you? How does he respond to what he knows about us? Well, there's three things to consider as we answer this question. First, think about how God has responded in the past. God has taken the steps to meet the deepest need that we have. That is our need to be saved. He has given us our Savior. Before there was ever a person to save or a sin to be saved from, God already had a plan. It's called the plan of salvation. That's right. The plan given then is the same plan that we're blessed with today. The very same plan. God always has a way of saving his children as they cooperate with him. One great example of this plan must be the Hebrews that were rescued from their Egyptian bondage. What a miraculous intervention that was. Just think about the magnitude of the size of that project. We must remember that the God we serve always has a specific plan to save his people. Of course, there are many other biblical examples, and some which you may recall from your own life as well. I would encourage you to review those. God responds to you in the present, many times from the perspective of God's chosen people, that's you, it appears as though the Lord may have abandoned them. Ever felt that way? We must admit that sometimes it appears that way even today. But we must remember that we walk by faith and not by sight, as it says in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7. This is simply another way of stating that things are not always the way they appear to be. The fact is that the Lord stands ready and able to help you all along the way. You must accept this by faith. You do not have to face the burdens, the challenges, or the hardships all alone. God would have you and me trust him and look to him in the most trying times of our life. Might just add here, it doesn't have to be something big and terrible either. It can be something little and irritating, like yellow jackets. Somebody say ants? Yeah, you can talk to him about anything and you should. Put it on his plate. Somebody said he's up all night anyway. Here's a wonderful promise. Paul wrote in Philippians 4, 6, and 7, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. If you do this, you'll experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. How many of you have felt that peace? Amen. Praise his name for that. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. You know, I'm not sure anything more needs to be said other than that text. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all that he has done. You see, God will respond to you through his promises as found in the scriptures. The captives from Israel thought the Lord had forgotten them, along with all the promises that he had made to their fathers. But our text from Jeremiah was sent specifically to remind them that God had not forgotten them at all. This message is intended for us today as well. By this promise, we are told that the Lord thinks good thoughts about his people right here in Sutherland, Oregon. He longs to give us an expected end. Now, what do you suppose that expected end means? He expects that we will be living with him forever. He's made a plan for that. This text is God's way of saying to you, I care deeply for you. I have developed this plan for your life. I hope you understand that one promise of God will never fail. He will keep every single promise that he has ever made. So God has set up a plan that is custom made for your life. Then it becomes our duty to make his plan our plan. The most remarkable thing is that he has shown us just how it can be done, and he will help us to do it. So in closing, I hope that you understand that no matter where you are in this world today, no matter the challenge that you are facing, whether it be big, whether it be ginormous, or microscopic, big or small, there is help and there is hope in Lord Jesus. He knows exactly what you need and is ready and willing to supply it. That plan has an expected end, that is, out of this world. How grateful we are this morning to be able to make his plan our plan. Father, we thank you for the many things that you send our way, and especially we want to thank you today for your precious promises. We pray that we will keep these in mind from day to day, and as we face these challenges, small and large, that we will be dependent entirely upon you, that we will think of you quickly and often, and rely on the grace, the mercy, and the love that you send our way. Be with us now. We pray that you'll keep us faithful to you until the end. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.